Be found in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and Zechariah chapter 10, if you would please, those two places in the Word of God. Song of Solomon chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 10. We sure appreciate Island Ford Baptist Church. Thank y'all so much for putting on this meeting. It's one of the highlights of our year, every year. Sorry we didn't get to make it yesterday. We had a funeral that we were able to do last night. But we did pray for you yesterday, and glad we could be here today. We sure appreciate all your hospitality and all of you that labor and work. I know it takes a lot to put on a meeting like this, and we appreciate it from the depths of our hearts. Song of Solomon chapter 1, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll read verse number 9. If it'll be all right, we'll just stand, let you stretch a little bit, reverence the Word of God. Our Father, we sure thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless in this meeting. Thank you for the message we just heard. Lord, I know all of us needed that, and I pray that you would help us to watch the distractions in our life and all the entanglements and things. And Lord, I pray now it's come our lot to bring the Word of God. I pray that we could be a blessing and that we could be a help in this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's read the Word of God, and then we'll have you be seated. Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse number 9. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, the book of Song of Solomon, you can be seated. Thank you for standing. The book of Song of Solomon is God's romance book.
Right.
It's a book written from the viewpoint of a husband and a wife and their romantic love one for another. It's also a very typical book as it typifies the Lord and the church. Christ loved the church, and the church is in subjection unto the Lord and so forth. So a great deal of romance. I'm not going to preach really a romantic message, though, this afternoon. But I see here that Solomon, the bridegroom, likens his bride to a horse. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never done that. I don't know if any of you fellas have. If you ever want to try it, you do it and let me know how that goes. But I have never done that. But Solomon does. He likens his bride to a horse. Be turning on over to the book of Zechariah and chapter number 10. I want to talk to you a little bit about horses and hopefully be able to help us, especially during this missions conference time. Look at Zechariah chapter 10. Now, the book of Song of Solomon is dealing typically with Christ and the church. Zechariah chapter 10 is dealing with the nation of Israel. I understand that the church is not Israel. Israel's not the church. You know that. The church hasn't replaced Israel, never has, never will. We're grafted in spiritually, but we'll never be physical Jews and these things. But nevertheless, I believe there's application that can be made, even though he's not speaking directly to the church in Zechariah chapter number 10. I believe there's a lot of application, nevertheless, that we can make. Look there at verse number 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherd, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Now, I'm going to preach to you just a few minutes here on God's good horses. I've owned a lot of horses. I've bought them, I've sold them, I've traded them. There's some I've given away, and be honest with you, don't tell Peter, but there's some I've shot. I mean, they just weren't good for anything. I've owned all kinds, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I'm interested in good horses that he mentions right here. He said he'd made them as his goodly horse in the battle. I see, first of all, there's the possession of this horse. He said they're as his goodly horse. He's taking possession. These horses are not running wild. They're not out here doing their own thing. These horses belong to somebody. They are his horses. I read over there in Mark chapter number 11 where Jesus sent two of his disciples. He said, down yonder, there's a way where, there's a place where two ways meet. And he said, I want you to go down there where those two ways meet. And where you find those two ways come together, he said, there's a foal of an ass. He said, go and get him, for I have need of him. If any man says anything to you, you tell them I have need of him. And they went down and you know the rest of the story. They took that little old ashes colt. They led him back. He'd never been set on before. He'd never been ridden before. He wasn't broke. But they brought him to Jesus. I'm glad Jesus, brother, if I could say it this way, he's the master mule skinner. He never met one that he could not break. He never met one he could not use. And so he sent and they brought that. They put the Lord's halter on that little old colt. Amen. I mean, he's being led by Jesus' lead rope. And they brought him back to the Lord. And the Lord gentled him right down. Now what a picture that is of salvation. I remember that day. Do you remember that day? I was that sinner tied up where two ways met. I looked off down one way and saw hellfire and forking lightning. I looked off one day. I looked off down one way and saw hell a popping, judgment a coming. I looked off down one way and saw outer darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. But I looked down the other way and I saw glory. I saw the old rugged cross. I saw a city of eternal light, brother. And I'm glad I'm on the right way now. I'm on that straight and narrow way. How about you? I belong to him now. And so he sent two servants after me. I think we can say one of them would be the Holy Scriptures that have concluded all under sin. One of them is the law of God that shows us we're guilty before a holy God. And that other servant, it's the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit to us to lovingly convict us, draw us to himself with cords of love as of a man to reprove us of sin and judgment and righteousness to come, to draw us to Jesus. Jesus said, no man come unto me except followers who sent me, draw him. Jesus said, now if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And so here come the two servants, the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. They concluded us under sin, showed us we were lost, showed us we needed Jesus, drew us to the Master, and we became him. And then, brother, I tell you, the minute we repented and believed the gospel, he put his lead rope on us. Wonder who's got a hold of your lead rope. There's a lot of folks claim to be Christian, but I don't believe the Lord's anywhere close to their lead rope. That's what you call lordship. I understand there's a ditch on either side of that thing, but I believe when you get saved, you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll not be saved. Hey, you say, well, I just got him as Savior. I just want me a little fire insurance and a little get out of hell free card. So when I'm playing this game of life, I'll have me escape route, but I don't care anything about living for him or serving him or anything. Listen, that's not Bible salvation. That's modern day religion and man-made psychological gimmicks is what that is. And it's about destroying our churches. But anyway, amen. We see the possession of this horse. They put the Lord's lead rope on him. Brother, they took that old rope the devil had him tied up with. See, the devil ties us and the Lord leads us. I just thought of that. Amen. I preached this message several times. Just now thought of that. The devil ties his colts and the Lord leads his. One of the sweetest verses in Psalm 23, he said, he leadeth me. Amen. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heavenly comfort wrought where'er I am, whatever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. You remember the day he tied you loose from the old hitching post of sin. He took the old devil's lariat rope off of your neck and put that sweet halter of his goodwill on us and been leading us down the road of righteousness ever. We hadn't always been perfect. We might have balked. We might have fought. We might have kicked a little bit along the way. But it's still been his good hand that's been on the lead rope ever since. I read back there, you know, we were talking about that horse back there in the book of Song of Solomon. I read that back there. I tell you what, let's just turn back to 1 Kings chapter number 10 and look back there with me. 1 Kings chapter 10, hold your place there in Zechariah. And I think about the price of these horses. The price. They came at a great, they came under the ownership of their master at a great price.
Amen.
Well, 1 Kings used to be in my Bible. I reckon it still is. There it is. All right. Chapter 10. And look at verse number 28 right there. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. Now, he wasn't supposed to do that according to the law. But for the sake of our typology, just bear with me. He had these horses brought out of Egypt. That's the type of the world. And linen yarn, the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. How much, brother, is 150 shekels of silver worth? Well, I don't know exactly, but I do know that Joseph's brother sold him for 20 pieces.
Yeah.
And I do know that Judas sold his Lord for 30 pieces.
Yeah.
And so it looks to me like 150 pieces of silver, that's a pretty high price to pay for an old horse. Now, I know what we cost. Way too much.
Right.
You know, I've had some horses that cost too much.
Yeah.
I've had, you know, when you're trading, you're supposed to buy low and sell high. I've had some times when that worked back. I try not to do that too much, but I've had some of them cost way too much. I bought them for too much, and then when it come time to take them to a sale, I said, forget about the cheese, let me out of the trap. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, when that auctioneer's hammer comes down, they're going to have a new address. Amen, right there. But listen, when it came to our soul, and it came to our salvation, there was a high price paid. I mean, Jesus went all the way to Calvary to pay the price with his own precious blood. And so there's the possession of that horse. At notice number two with me, there's the preparation of that horse. The Bible said there that he hath made him as his goodly horses in the battle. Can I tell you something? We just had two colts born at our place this summer. They were not naturally good horses. They didn't come out of their mother knowing how to plow and how to ride. They came out of their mother wild and rebellious. They came out of their mother without any restraint on them. And by the way, that's how you were too, and that's how your kids are. And that's how your grandbabies are too. Don't look at me that way. I know how those grandbabies are. You think they walk on water and got a halo and wings and all that stuff. Say, oh, my grandbaby's an angel. Yeah, and there's two different kinds of angels too. Amen. But I'm telling you, people are not good by nature. They're sinners by nature. The Bible said we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so it takes some work in our lives to make us to be any count or any good for anything for the work of the Lord. He hath made them as his goodly horses. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 3 said the horse is prepared unto the day of battle. Psalm chapter 32 verse number 9 said, be not as the horse or the mule which have no understanding.
Yeah.
In other words, you need to learn something.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were at a Christmas parade. Now, if you don't do Christmas, that's fine. Don't fuss at me. We can disagree or agree to disagree. But I mean, we were at a Christmas parade one time, and they had a wagon and two horses carrying the Perry County Beauty Queen in that parade. I mean, we were right there where the thing started, and they got those horses pulled that wagon out into the thing, you know. And you know how a parade is. I mean, next thing you know, the drums is a-beating, and the all these horns are blowing, and old Shriners and everything on them motorcycles, clowns and all that. And obviously, those horses were not prepared until the day of this parade. They went absolutely crazy, went to rearing and a-kicking. That beauty queen, bless her heart, had to bail out and take off walking. Two men had to get a hold of them horses and lead them out of the parade. They were not fit for that day of that they were in right there. These horses here had been prepared unto the day of battle. Now, a fellow, when he goes to break a horse, he's got to get that horse gentled.
Right.
He's got to get that horse geared. You can have the strongest horse in the world if you can't harness him. If you can't put a saddle on him, he's no good for anything. Now, there's people in the church today that you cannot harness.
Right.
They've got a lot of strength. They've got natural ability. They've got a lot of talent, but they won't stay put. They're like that old unicorn back there in the book of Job. You can't bind them in their furrows. They won't abide by their crib. You can't harness them. They won't stay home. They won't mind the pastor. They won't go by the standards of the church. They want to do everything their own way and do it and do their thing, and they're not fit for the work of God. You can't work a horse like that, and you can't work a church member like that. I'll tell you something about horses. When you take that saddle off or unharness them, the first thing they'll do is go roll on the ground, try to get the feel of that harness off their back. These church members like that. They'll leave a good church somewhere like this and then go putting that all over the internet. You know, we're so thankful to get off that toxic atmosphere and get away from all them legalists down there and everything. They just broadcasting and making it known they weren't nothing but a rebel the whole time that can't stand the feel of restraint and the harness on their back. And so did you know that Jeremiah 46 and verse 4 says, harness the horses. You look it up, see if it doesn't say that. So he's got to gentle that horse. He's got to gear that horse. He's got to guide that horse. He's got to bring that strength under control. That's called meekness. Now, I wish I had time. I'm going to tell you the bad habits and the problems that horses have. There's horses that'll kick. There's horses that'll weave. I mean, they just stand back and forth and weave back and forth like this all the time. What the old timers told me is when they got them weaned off their mamas, they put them in a barn that had slats in it, and they got in the habit of just looking back through them slats all the time. And they'll do it standing. That you can't. It's just aggravating to be around them all the time. They got in that habit. Did you know there's some Christians that the Lord's are trying to wean us off the world, and we keep looking back. We're like old Lot's wife. We can't keep our focus on the forward journey, and we've gotten a habit of looking back and become useless to the world. Work of the Lord. That's why when you work those horses and hook them to load, you put blinders on them. You ever seen those old time blind bridles? That keeps them from being distracted. Amen. There's your distraction. Some of us need to get some blinders on from that cell phone and that computer and that old flat screen and the ball game. And I'll step on my own toes the next election. I mean, we need to get blinded from some of that and be looking forward to the load and the work that God has for us to do. Some horses, they'll flip over on you. Some horses, you can't tie them up. They'll set back and break a halter every time. Some horses, when you hook them or get on them, they'll buck or they'll throw you or they'll run away. You see this a lot pulling mules. You ever been to a mule pull? And you get them hooked up there and they've got to pull this load. One of them will jump up and this one will set back. And then this one will jump up and this one will set back. That's called seesawing. And they've got the strength that's there to pull the load, but they won't get together and pull together. What an example to the church. I like to see an old pirate brother, you hook him up and they just step right off in same step and pull together. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 talks about striving together in the work of the Lord. Now here we are, brother, it's missions conference time. Could I preach to, I surely wouldn't want to overstep any bounds or anything, but if I could just address Island Ford Baptist Church for a minute, it's missions conference time. And there's missionaries that need to be sent around the world. And a gospel message that needs to be carried to the uttermost part of the earth. And we got men here that God has called to do that work. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we could all just get in the harness together? And I mean, forget about some of the little petty things. And I mean, some of the indifferent things that don't matter a hill of beans. That won't matter shucks. When we get to heaven, some of our opinions and preferences and what kind of aftershave you use and which side you part your hair on and what kind of flour arrangement we've got up here and what kind of cooking grease we're going to fry taters in the kitchen. I mean, if we could get past some of that, get in the harness together. Get in step together and pull a load for the glory of God to get the gospel around the world. Striving together. They spooky horses. They won't ever settle down.
Yeah.
Always up in the air. One fellow said, my wife, he said, I got an angel for a wife. Another said, mine is too. She's an angel. She's always up in the air, a harping on something. Say amen right there. Then, I don't know if y'all have them up in Kentucky, but in Tennessee we've got cribbers. And that's horses that chew on everything. If you ever been in the barn, it'll look like beavers have been in there. The wood's all chewed up. They destroy everything around them with their mouth. I better move on, hadn't I? Amen. But I tell you what, if you never get them all past that and get one broke, you got something you can use. I remember I was up at old man's house one time down there not too far from us, and he had an old mule tied up there in a garden spot, and I was up there for something else, but he said, have you ever seen a broke mule? I said, well, I think I've seen a few. He said, let me show you one. He took this mule, he hooked it to an old plow, and had a beautiful garden out there. And he went up and took the bridle off that thing and hung it on the hames. Didn't have a line, didn't have a bit, didn't have anything. And I thought, this guy's fixing to tear up a pretty garden. But he went talking to that old mule, and that old mule put his ears back and went to listening. And I mean, he'd gee and he'd haul and he'd whoa and he'd get up and that old mule walked right down every row, plowed the weeds right out of that garden, never stepped on a plant, never took a wrong step. I mean, he just listened to the voice of a master and walked right perfect every step of the way. Brother, if we could take an example from that old mule, everyone get our ears attuned in to the master and listen to his voice. Isaiah said, here you, there's a voice behind you saying this is the way and the walk therein. May God help us. Every one of us ought to get tuned in to the master and listen to his voice. There's the possession of the horse. There's the preparation of the horse. Then there's that purpose of the horse. He says there in verse number 5, he's got something for them to do. Look at the latter part of that verse, and they shall fight. Because the Lord is with them. They're going to fight. God's got something for his horses to do.
Yeah.
Say, well, what would that be? Well, he might have a Jezebel he needs run over. But I got thinking about the book of Esther. There's several things about horses in the book of Esther. And I think about that horse that wild old wicked Haman gritted his teeth.
Yeah.
And while his old veins popped out on his neck. And I mean, while he just couldn't stand it, but he had to lead that horse while Mordecai the Jew got honor and glory. I'd like to be a horse like that. And make the old devil grind his teeth. And just chap the devil and bring honor and glory to our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to be that kind of horse. There's some others there in the book of Esther. You see, there was a people condemned to die. There was a people that was under a condemnation sentence. The decree of the king had declared that there was a death day. There was a judgment day that was set. Execution day was coming. And then you know all of that through the workings of Esther, where she was coming into the kingdom for such a time as this, and where God used her to change the mind of the king. And listen, execution day was still set. But the king said, I'm going to give them a reprieve and let them fight. There's good news from the king's house. Are you listening? I mean, there's a glorious good news from the king's house. Like one missionary said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time.
Right.
And so somebody's got to get the message from the king's house to the people that need it the most.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad somebody had some good horses in the barn. Yes, sir. The Bible said hasten and pressed on. Somebody said go saddle up old Blue and go saddle up old Paint. I mean get that bridle and let's saddle up. I mean God's Pony Express took off a riding from town. Hey, good news from the King's house. Salvation is available. There's a reprieve. There's deliverance from the death and the condemnation and the curse that they were under. That's what every one of us ought to be. It's one of God's good horses to carry the good news.
Amen.
And tell somebody there's salvation from the King's house. So there's that possession and the preparation and the purpose. But there's that paw of the horse. You read over there in Job chapter 30. Any of you ever heard Brother Olaf preach on pawing in the valley?
Yeah.
I sure can't preach that like he could, but over there in the book of Job, it said he rejoiceth in his strength, that horse. He paweth in the valley. See, that's not natural for a horse. A horse is naturally a spooky and a shy and a creature that would run away from noise and run away from a battle, but not this one. This horse has been prepared. This horse has been trained. This horse has got a taste for it. Man, he hears that battle afar off, buddy. He's ready to go. He's pawing in the valley. He said, just let me at him. The pages of history give us a few illustrations of this. Old General Wellington, that English general that defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. They took some of his old war horses that had been in that battle and retired them and turned them out to pasture in the English countryside. Old sway back, bony. Horses are too old to fight anymore, but they turned them out in that pasture. And they said there was a strange sight in that farmland in the English countryside every time a thunderstorm came up. Those old horses would hear that thunder crashing. And they'd think that was the French cannons opening the battle again. And they said those old horses would line up in perfect battle formation. And they'd go to stomping their feet, ready to get back into the fight, pawing in the valley. Old General Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of our Tennessee heroes, he had 29 horses shot out from under him during the war between the states. He did. Had killed 30 Yankees single-handedly. He said, I got one more of them than they did my horses. That last horse is on after he died not too very long after the war. And his widow had that horse and she had the idea that he'd make a good carriage horse. She lived in Memphis. And she hooked that horse up and the servants did and they were going to pull her carriage and transport her through the streets of Memphis. Let me tell you something, that was a bad idea. That was an old war horse. That was an old pawing in the valley horse. And every time he saw a policeman. Now, hey, we're back the Blue. Amen.
Right.
But this horse wasn't back the Blue. Because he thought that meant Yankees.
Yeah.
Every time he saw a policeman, he'd lay them old ears back. And he'd bare those old teeth. And he'd go to stomping and try to run off. And the servants couldn't hold, even though he was old and feeble, they couldn't hold him back. He'd run out and try to bite a hole in one of them policemen and stomp on them. Pawing in the valley. Oh, listen. What an example for God's people.
Amen.
What if there might be a preacher here, a missionary or a church member, song leader, whatever, singer, and you used to have that excitement, but you kind of lost your paw down along the way. And it's just kind of got humdrum. You used to get up in the morning just be pawing to get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now you read the shortest psalm you can find, so you say, well, I read it before work, you know. Maybe you used to, I mean, on Saturday night, you was just itching, just couldn't wait, just anticipating Sunday morning to arrive and get back in the pulpit. And I mean, I know we ought not do this, but it still makes sense when we say, charge hell with a squirt gun. I know you can't put hell out with a squirt gun, but you know what I'm talking about. Just ready to go.
Right.
Old black preacher said that, spizzerinctum.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what is that? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know when it ain't.
Yeah.
Amen. Have you lost your paw? Have you lost your paw? God's good horses have got it. Amen. I like what it said right there. It said, they shall fight because the Lord is with them.
Amen.
I'd be scared to death to go into the battle without Him.
Yes,
be scared to death to pastor a church without Him.
Yes.
Be scared to death to be behind this pulpit right now without Him. But I know I'm His. And if we let Him, He'll prepare us.
Right.
We'll be His possession. He'll prepare us.
Right.
He's got a purpose for us.
Right.
And He'll give us that pull, that excitement
in
His work. Father, I pray You bless Your word. Thank You for this meeting, Lord. Bless in the remainder of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, preacher.